Starting at Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Hanodir min habayit mutar ba'aliyah. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Who here has been to Katzrin? You ever see the Talmudic village and the houses? So there was the lower floor and there's the upper floor. I'll have to take you. Mm-hmm. We haven't been there in a long time.
Ani did a tour there.
What?
I went on a tour there with Ani.
Oh yeah? Fun. So there's the main floor. I haven't been there in years, but there's the main floor and there's the upper floor. So the upper floor is called the Aliyah and the main floor is called the regular floor. So if you say, I'm not going to get any hana'ah from the bayit, your mutar ba'aliyah, according to Rabbi Meir, the aliyah is not considered a bayit. And that's, one is the bayit and one is the aliyah. That's what they called it. It's not like the whole house is called the house. Like you might say the attic, right? But if you said your house, you would include your attic in the house. But here what they're saying is the terminology used in those days was that the bayit meant bayit and the aliyah meant the aliyah. That's at least what Rabbi Meir holds. V'chachamim omrim aliyah b'chlal habayit. Okay, Chachamim say that the aliyah is included in the house. When you say house, you mean everything. You didn't mean I'm only not going to get benefit from the main floor. You also meant the aliyah. So there's a machlok of what to do it. But the flip is, hanodir mina aliyah, but if you just say I'm not going to get benefit from the attic, then even Chachamim agree that mutar b'bayit. Okay, but that obviously wouldn't include the house then. Attic just means attic, but house would include, according to Chachamim, both the attic and the, you know, again, it's not exactly an attic, it's just the second floor. Okay, so now we're going to have, the Gemara is going to discuss Mantana with another Tanaitic source, and which Tana is this like? Mantana, now here this is about Bayit Menuga, so we're going to see, this is always the question, when we talk about Nidarim, and we talk about terminology, and we compare it to other areas in halacha, is it the same criteria or is it different criteria? Okay, so now we're going to compare, we're going to have this a few times today, we're going to compare now, when it talks about bayit menuga, what does it mean when it means bayit? Okay, does it mean other parts of the house? So babayit, right, and when we talk about nidarim, what does it mean? So nidarim, we have a very clear kamachloka Rabbi Meir, Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says it doesn't include the aliyah, and Chachamim says it does include the aliyah. Again, the aliyah, those came late. The aliyah means the second floor of the houses. So now, who's the Tana who says this brayta? Babayit, right, in the bayit menuga, if you have a tzarat in the house, the word babayit comes lirabot et hayitzia. Okay, it comes to include the yitzia. Now, the yitzia, there's a bunch of different interpretations. What is the yitzia? Okay, either it's this area. Right, what is it that
it's a veranda.
Right, some people say it's a colored house. Right, that's one. Right, some people say it's a veranda. Okay, like an area. One second. How did they describe it here? One second. Right, they said it's a room. Right, it's kind of like a merpeset that's outside the aliyah floor. Okay, the upper floor, some sort of a merpeset there. So the bayit comes to, because it says ba bayit, and it's just not bayit, okay, this is ki tabo el eretz kanan asher ani noten lachem lachuza v'natati nega tzarat bibeit eretz achuzatchem. Sorry, it's not bibayit, bibeit. Bibeit eretz achuzatchem. Why bibeit instead of nega tzarat beit eretz achuzatchem? Okay. Right, you kind of need the bet there, but they're saying, anyway, we're going to say that that includes this area, this veranda outside, or again, it could be a colored house, that it might, that the nega could also affect colored, it sounds like nida, right, with colored underwear. So there was, I'm telling you, the colored thing, like, affected all sorts of things. Right, you have to understand better there to be saw why color would be different.
It said the dyed clothes were impervious to tzarat, so you might have thought that a dyed house was
right, that was what it was, right. So since dyed clothing is, then, right, because remember also colors always means that it was dyed as opposed to just what?
It's just hard to understand how they would get to the second floor without going through the first floor.
Separate entrance? Maybe an outside
stairway. So first of all, there were ladders. You could have a ladder that goes up to the second floor.
From the outside.
Yeah, we saw that in the sources. It's maybe Eruvin, I was thinking, stuff. Right. We've got these ladders that go up there. And yeah. Okay. And then, bebeit, lirabot et aliyah. Also would include the aliyah. So, Amar Rav Chisda, this brayta must be Rabbi Meir. Why would it obviously be Rabbi Meir? Remember, Rabbi Meir said the bayit doesn't include aliyah. So why would it be Rabbi Meir? Di Rabbanan, Hamri Rabbanan, Aliyah B'chlal Abayit, Lama Likra B'Bayit L'Ribuya. That you wouldn't need an extra limud if Bayit always includes Aliyah, then B'Veit Eretz Uchuzatchem would obviously also include the Aliyah. There would be no reason to even have a drasha. Bayit obviously includes also the upper floor. So now, that's Rav Chisda. Abaye Amar Afilu Tema Rabbanan Bayakra. You still would need the pasuk, even if you held like Rabbanan, the Bayit includes Aliyah. Why? Because you would make a distinction between Nedarim and between Bayit Menuga. Why? You might have thought, Salkadat HaChamina, you might have thought that Bivet Eretz Achuzatchem Ktiv. What does it say? It doesn't say Bivetchem. It says Bivet Eretz Achuzatchem. Okay? The house in the land of your, how do you say, Achuzat? What?
Possessions.
Possessions. Okay. What would that imply? Dimechaber ba'ara shmei bayit. Aliyah halo mechaber ba'ara. Okay, what does it mean? Since it connects, the veit eretz goes together, you might have thought eretz meaning it has to be attached to the ground. And therefore, only the bayit is attached to the ground, and therefore nega can only, right, it would only be a bayit menuga if it's anything that's attached to the ground. And therefore, you need the special limud to teach us that it includes even a house that is higher up, that's not attached to the ground. Again, obviously, it's attached to something that's attached to the ground, but they mean directly attached to the ground. Okay, so therefore, you could say it's chachamim, that generally, when you say bayit, again, for the world of Nedarim, when you speak, you say bayit, you obviously mean the Aliyah. But when it comes to bayit menuga, you might not have thought that, and therefore, it needed a special limud to tell you. And that's only because of this pasuk, b'veit eretz, you would have thought, only if it's mechubar l'karka, comes the pasuk to teach you, the b'veit, that includes even the Aliyah. Okay, so now we've showed that this braita could either be Rabbi Meir or chachamim. It's not necessarily connected to our issue. Keman az lahada amar Rav Huna bar Chiya mishmei de'ula bayit biveti ani mocher lecha mar'ehu aliyah. If you say I'm going to sell you a house within my house, okay, bayit biveti, okay, that's the literal translation. It's going to be a big question what exactly this means. Okay, so Mar'ehu Aliyah, if you then, okay, so you basically make a deal without seeing the house, okay? I don't know how you would do this, right? You're not so smart, right? You never buy a house without checking it out. But let's assume you bought a house without checking it out. He said, I'm going to sell you a house within my house. And you say, great, you make a deal. And then what does he do? Mar'ehu Aliyah. He comes and he shows you the upper floor. Now, obviously, the upper floor is not as desirable as the lower floor because you have to walk up steps, you have to get up there some other way. It's, right, you always would rather have a ground floor, you know, an apartment, a ground floor apartment, so it's considered a little better. I mean, not always. There's the penthouse, but there are elevators nowadays, right? In those days, not. Anyway, you'd always rather the lower floor. So if he shows you an Aliyah, Ta'amada, and he says, this is what I sold you. And you say, what are you talking about? I didn't want the Aliyah, I wanted a house. So, what's the halacha? Ta'amada amarle bayit shebebeiti ani mocher lecha. The reason why it's okay, he can show you the Aliyah and you're stuck with it, is because he said bayit shebebeiti. Okay? Meaning, bayit shebebeiti means a house in my house, which means not something as good. Bayit shebebeiti already sounds like not the perfect thing, not the actual thing. So that's why, now what do you see from this source? And you can show him the Aliyah and you can say, and you win out, basically. He doesn't have any claim on you. You have to remember, by the way, the Baal Ashtar is always ala tachtona. Okay, the guy who bought the house is always, if he wants to say, well, right, because he is a hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. He's the one who's motzi mechavero. He's the one who has to say, I want you to give me something better. And the guy says, well, prove it, right? And he has no way of proving it. So his yad is always ala tachtona, and that's also the basis for the salacha. But what do you learn from this? That only in the case where he said, ta'ama da'amrele bayit shebebeiti ani mocher lecha. Ava bayit stam, eino mar'ehu aliyah. It seems implied here that if you just said bayit ani mocher lecha, then he can't show him the aliyah. He has to actually sell him the lower floor. So what does it sound like? Sounds like it goes like Rabbi Meir, the bayit is only bayit and not aliyah. So lema Rabbi Meir he. Right? It seems like this source would follow Rabbi Meir. So now, what do they say? Now, afilu tema rabbanan, my aliyah mi'ule shebibatim. So what do they say here? When it says Mar'eu Aliyah, it doesn't mean he can show him the upper floor. It means he has to sell him the best, the Me'ula Shebebatim. The halacha, according to this reading, is the opposite reading. That if you say Bayit Shebebeti, you have to sell him the bottom floor. You can't give him the upper floor. Okay, and they interpret the term, which is actually very difficult, because why would they use the word Aliyah here if as something else, right? It's totally confusing. But I think it's an attempt on the Gemara to say we can somehow read this source, even if it's really not the pshat of the source, we can somehow read this source to work with our opinion. Okay? Maybe there was a sense that they didn't want to. Also, we paskan like Chachamim, so maybe they didn't want that Braita to side with Rabbi Meir. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're going to get into all sorts of, okay, and this is interesting that in the Koran and the Shatan scene, they have different diagrams of exactly what this looks like. Okay, this again goes back to if you want to know about furniture, okay, anyone who's into interior design, furniture in the days of the Mishnah and Gemara, this is your daf, basically, in terms of bedding, okay? Now, we also learned, by the way, we talked about beds in the past. We had it come up in Dinei Tumah and Tara, and we saw it, I don't remember in which Masech,
when we get all of the stuff about Avelut.
Oh, yeah, in Moed Katan, it talks about it. Right, in Moed Katan, there's a whole discussion. And it's actually going to coincide with what we're going to see today about, because one of the sources about beds is Kofei Tamita. They would turn it upside down when they're in Avelut. So in Moed Katan, it comes up all about the different kind of beds, and we're going to see it again today. Thank you for reminding me. Hanodir min amita mutar b'dargash. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. If you say, I'm not going to get benefit from the mita, you're allowed to use this dargash. Okay, we're going to see the whole question, the Gemara is going to be, okay, again, this is, the Mishnah uses a term that they knew exactly what they were talking about. The Gemara already doesn't really know what this term is that the Mishnah used. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, so again, Rabbi Meir has the same type of approach, that a general word doesn't include a specific type, right? Like the general bai doesn't include aliyah, the general mita doesn't include this dargash. V'chachamim amrim dargash bichlal mita. Okay, again, chachamim l'shitatam, dargash is included in the term bed. But again, hanodir min hadargash, but if you want to get specific and say only the dargash, then mutar b'mita, then you're allowed in a regular bed. Okay, Gemara, my dargash, what is a dargash? Amar Ula, Arsa Digada. Okay? It's a mitah, you'll like this one. It's a mitah that they would have for good luck in their house. Okay? Some of the Mefreshim say, what are you talking about? Like, we don't believe in nichush and, you know, things like superstitious things, which is a very interesting discussion, right? Because although we have all the stuff about non-superstitious stuff, clearly we see all the stuff about superstitions and Ayin Hara and all that. So it's an interesting discussion, you know, how we relate to this and how they, you know, describe it in a way, oh yeah, it's not really nichush, it's just, you know, it's not really a bed for mazal, it's a bed for the malach who's supposed to be in your house to be shomer on the house, you know, they kind of try to. Anyway, it was a mitah for good luck. Amr le rabbanan le'ula. Haditnan. Okay, so now they have this bed for good luck that nobody sleeps in, basically. It's just a bed for good luck. You think about it, they had some houses that I don't think were very big, and yet they stuck a bed in their house for good luck, right?
I said it was for the guardian angel. Maybe
it was right, so that's what I said. They said it was for the angel. In other words, that's the way they answer it up, that it was for the angel, like the Kosh of Eliyahu.
Yeah,
it's like Kosh of Eliyahu. Yeah. It's the same kind of idea. But again, that came as an answer to how can you have this bed for good luck, like we don't believe in this stuff. So some of them first answered, oh, it was really for the angel. Not that that necessarily makes it so much different, but... Okay. But that was their answer. That there was a bed for the angel, and
maybe it was small.
Right. It could have been small.
I was reading yesterday about Benny Lau's book Yirmiyahu.
Yeah.
And he talks a lot about the time of right before, and because there was such a strong Assyrian influence, they had a lot of these things in their homes.
These good luck symbols.
These good luck symbols, mm-hmm, in their right homes. And when Yoshiah, the king.
Yeah, Yoshiah.
Mm-hmm. Yoshiah. When he came along, he wanted everybody to get rid of them.
Uh-huh.
But they were so ingrained in their culture that they had, like, the bookshelves to turn around. Like, they got rid of them. Yeah, they got rid of half of them.
And they hid them.
Wow. They hid them. But they couldn't make
They couldn't get rid of this. Right.
They were so ingrained in them.
Right, so you can see that and you can see it in the discussion here about what do you mean? We don't believe in this stuff, but we do, you know, and you see it today, that there's some people that are very super Jewish, very superstitious people, and there are some people that don't believe in the superstitious stuff. And, right, the red string, there's all sorts of the chamsa, all sorts of things that are clearly influences of other cultures. Okay, so Amar Rabbanan Le'ula, Haditnan, it says in the Mishnah, Kishehen Mavrinoto, okay, this is a Mishnah about the Avelut of a, it comes up in Sanhedrin, where there's all about the Avelut of the Kohen, the Melech. Kishehen Mavrinoto, okay, when they come to, right, I think it's the Melech here.
The Jewish
oh, no, it's the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, yeah. When the Kohen Gadol, the second paragraph of Sanhedrin is all about Kohen Gadol, Melech, like, can you judge them? Can they be judged? Etc. Can they be judges? Can people judge them? So it talks about all different things about the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. So when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, it says when people come to when the Su'udat Avra'ah, after the cemetery, Kol Ha'am Mesubin Al Aretz V'hu Mesev Ala Dargash. Okay, so what do you see here? He sits on this dargash, and they're all on the arts. So it says, so the Gemara is going to say, now what does this have to do with our thing? Kula shata lo yativala, hahu yoma yativala. I understand, if this dargash is for good luck and nobody ever sits on it, dafka the Sudat of Ra'at, the Kohen Gadol is going to sit on the dargash? It doesn't make any sense. So how could you possibly say, Ula, that it was just for good luck? So what are the answer? Matki Fla Ravina, Midi dahava abasar v'yayin. No, it's just like the issue of basar v'yayin. What is the issue? De kule shata ibai achil ibai lo achil. All year long, if you want, you can eat wine. You can drink wine and eat meat, but you don't have to. Hahu yama anen yahavin alei. That meal, the sudat of ra'ah, you have to bring him wine and meat. Okay, so they would bring the kohen gadol wine and meat at that at the sudat of ra'ah. And therefore, they can say, well, it's true that all year you didn't sit on the dargash. But yes, that day you could say, yes, he sat on the dargash. In other words, it's not unreasonable to say that there was something unique about that day that made it different. Okay. So that was question number one against Ula, and it's rejected. Now we're going to have another question. Elaha kashya, but this could be a better question. Titania, Dargash, again, we keep dealing with Dinei Avelut. Like I told you, we're going to see a lot of Dinei Avelut, and that's why they're learning it from there, because that's where the beds are discussed. Dargash, lo haya kofeu ela zokfo. When you turn over all your beds in the house, you don't turn over the dargash. Now, here there's a machloka. What does it mean, zokfo? Some people say zokfo means you leave it straight the way it was. Right? Zokfo, like zokef kifufim, make it straight. Some people say you stand it on its side, right? Like a person would be zokef kifufim, he stands up tall. So you stand it on its side rather than turn it upside down. Okay, so right, here's your bed, and then you turn it on its side. Some people say it means that you flip it over and then flip it back. Like maybe you kind of do it as a siman, but then flip it right back. Okay, so either which way, it's different halacha than everything else. V'i amart arsa digadahu, and if you say that's what it is, v'hatan, there was this good luck, V'hatani, doesn't it say in a braita, ha-kofet mitato, lo mitato bilvadu kofet. When it says you're supposed to be kofet, turn over your bed. It's not just his own bed. Ela kol mitot sheyesh lo b'toch habayit hu kofet. But every bed he has in the house. And it's not just his house, but all the other beds. So what does it seem to imply? Even the dargash, right? Because any bed he has in his house. So if the dargash is a type of bed that they have for good luck, it doesn't make sense that he wouldn't have to turn over the dargash. So now the answer, halo kashimidi. No, that's not a question. Dahava amitam yuchedet lekelim. Okay, again, we get into, right, the word bed didn't necessarily always mean a bed. If you had a bed that you used as a table, right, if you think about it, their beds, they didn't have a lot of space and they didn't have a lot of furniture, so their things functioned, had different uses for it. So they use beds sometimes for a table. Now, if you have a bed that was used for a table to put kelim on it, well, then that bed you don't have to turn over. So just like you can have a bed like that that you don't have to turn over, you could have a dargash that you don't have to turn over because the dargash is never used as a sleeping bed, and therefore only the sleeping beds were the ones that need turning over. So even though in theory it was a bed made for sleeping, but nobody since nobody slept in it, it didn't need to be turned over. So again, we don't really have a problem with that. And here we're going to have a proof that the mitah miyuchedet lekelim didn't need turning over. Titanya im haitah mitah miyuchedet lekelim ein sarich lechafotah. Okay, if you had a bed that basically was used not for sleeping but for other purposes, then you wouldn't have to turn it over. So basically, question number two against Ula and resolved. Okay, again, we could still have a bed that was for good luck. But, ela ikashya hakashya, but if you're going to have a question, this is the question. Titania, Rashbag Omer, Dargash Matir Karvitav V'hu Nofel Me'elav. Okay, when it gets to the Dargash, in terms of doing Kfiyah for the bed, what would you do if you were gonna do this Kfiyah, you know, Kfiyah, like turn over the bed? What would you do? Instead of turning over the bed, right, we already said Zokfo, right? You would stand it up or something like that. But here's another way you could do it. You could take out the loops and it would fall in and of it, like by itself. V'i dargash arsa degadahu karviti mi'ile. Okay, and if it was this good luck bed, why would it have these loops? Okay, what are we talking about here? So if you look, there's pictures. Okay, what they're explaining is that this was this bed made with like a piece of leather on it. Okay, and it had, here's a picture in the Schottenstein. You have it there. So there's these wooden, the beds were made of wooden pieces with four legs, right, and a wooden frame. And then, so this kind of bed was different than the other beds. We'll see the other beds in a minute, where it was basically a sheet of leather, and you would wrap these loops around into holes that were made in the frame of the bed. Okay? The Koran has a bit of a different picture.
But now it's
a little like a cot.
Now it's metal.
The Koran shows that the loops went like this. This is, look at the other bed for a minute. The other bed had, here, we'll get to this soon. The truth is this picture is basically reasonable enough in the Schottenstein. But you can see the other bed, basically you would wrap these, here you can see like an up close. You would wrap rope around the beams on the side and make like a shativa arev, right? The woof
lattice
and the right.
Warp and the woof.
Right. And I was just flanking on the words for a minute. I read this thing somewhere that someone was saying, you know, when you make aliyah, you forget your English and you don't learn Hebrew.
Right.
So you basically have this lattice design and then the ropes wrap around the frame of the bed. Okay? So they're basically saying that if that's the case of how you would do it, then clearly there are no lulaot on it. Like it's not a real regular bed. People don't use it like that, so that's not the way it really looked. Okay? That was the question. So now ki ata rabin amr shi'ilte lahume rabbanan, Rav Tachlifa bar ma'arav shmei. Okay, they asked a particular rabbi about this, and his name was Rav Tachlifa, the son of Marava. No, that's a weird name, Ma'arava. No, I didn't look that up, what exactly that is. Dehava shachiach b'shuka ditzali. He worked in the leather market, so he knew, well, you know, that's the best guy to go to find out what this is. V'amar li, right, sometimes the rabbi isn't necessarily, I mean, he happens to be a rabbi, but, you know, the rabbis learning in the Beit Midrash don't necessarily know what's going on in the leather shop. So they asked this guy, Amar li, my dargash, arsa ditzala. Okay, it was a bed of leather, basically. It was this leather bed that, and that's what we saw. That's what we saw here. In other words, that's why it had these lulaot. Okay, so in the end, what they explain is that it was a different type of bed that had these loops in it, as opposed to the bed where you would basically string this lattice work rope, and then I assume they would put like some sort of mattress on it, like, you know, not a mattress like us, but maybe made of straw, or depending on how wealthy you were, depending on what kind of mattress you put on top, as opposed to this, where the whole base of the bed is made with a piece of leather. Okay, it was a different type of bed. Itmar, another thing that was said about this, Ezohi mita ve'ezohu dargash, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, mita misargino ta'al gaba, dargash misargino tomi gufo. Okay, here's your distinction between it, and that's this close-up picture in the Koran, if you want to look at it, or the pictures in the Schottenstein, where it shows it, that this is a different explanation, that it wasn't that it was this piece of leather that was strung in through loops, it was that the rope was looped through the bed frame itself. There was a hole in the bed frame, and you looped the rope through that. That was the dargash, whereas opposed to the bed, where it went over the frame. Okay?
There are pictures of both.
Right, yes. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There's also pictures of both in the Schottenstein. Okay. So now we're going to have a question on this thing of Rabbi Yirmiya. Meitive, klei etz, me'ematai mekablim tum'a. At what point are they considered a kli? And remember, we talked about this a long time ago. When you talk about a kli having contracted tum'a, the kli can have tum'a. It has to be not like when you're first making the kli. And when you're first creating the kli, and it's in the middle in the process, it can't be mekabel tumah until it's actually a functioning kli. It has to be finished. So the question is, at what point is it considered finished? So now they say, hamita v'harisa, misha yishufem b'or hadag. When you would sand it with the this is very interesting, with the skin of the fish. The skin of the fish was somewhat rough, and they would use it as sandpaper. Here's again, like a good source of what they used as sandpaper in the time of the Gemara. This is what they used. They used the skin of a fish. You would have no point to bother sanding it if the rope goes over the bed frame, because the bed frame is basically covered, even though it's not totally covered. So I don't exactly understand the question so much. But anyway, elahava hamigufan. So they say both of them were actually looped inside, okay? There was a hole in it. Mita aule ba'afuke bebizne, dargash aule ba'afuke ba'avakta. Okay, so now the difference here is that the mita, the chavalim go into the holes. One second. Right. Here you have a picture at the bottom in the Schottenstein, at least in mine. You guys have the other one. I don't know if it's the same. But the holes, so it's you know, the lattice work, and they go in the way we talked about the dargash before. Okay? And the mita was, in other words, again, it was made, like we said earlier, with this piece of leather. As opposed to having a lattice work of ropes, it's a piece of leather, and the leather is wrapped through the loops.
So it's the ropes that's attached to the leather that's attached to the wood, rather than just putting the ropes on and then putting the leather on top.
Right, exactly. So the ropes just attach to the sides of the leather and loop into the sides.
So that's a dargash.
So that's a dargash.
Does it mean it's more temporary rather than permanent, because you could just untie it? Versus a regular bag.
Right, so first of all, it definitely makes it easier to do the kfiat amita, because you just undo the loops and the whole thing falls down.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it could be. Right, the truth is, now that I remember, I think I saw some hijachasu to the fact that these beds were made in a way that it was easy to transport them.
Yeah.
Exactly for that reason, right. Right, you don't have to re-loop all the ropes. If you want to take apart one of those other beds, it's much more complicated. Right. Okay. So now, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha Amar Rabbi, Mitasha Naklita Yotzin, Zokfa V'dayo. Okay, now we're going to talk about a different kind of bed. Okay, this is a bed. Okay, again, there were different pictures in the Schottenstein and the Koren. Okay, here's a picture. You can pass this around. This was found in Eritrea. I don't know what that is. Oh, okay. So this is found in Eritrea, dating back to 300 BCE. It's a picture of a bed with these big bedposts. Okay, so according to that, it's a big bedpost. If you look in the Schottenstein, it's more
like a
canopy bed, where you would have these big... we actually saw this before also, when it came to Shabbat, about a gog and opening a gog. It comes up with like what you can... You can make a roof on Shabbat and things, like an ohel. Yeah. So this bed had these two beams coming out of the side of it, and a beam that connected those two beams, and a canopy would go over it. And it would be basically for for protecting from mosquitoes and things like that, okay? Or if they slept outside, to protect from the sun. So if you have a bed like that, now we're just going back to Dinei Avelut, Zokfa V'dayo. In other words, you can't flip it over because it's not... What are you going to hold it on? So basically, you would just put it on its side. Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, halacha kirashbag. Okay, the halacha is like Rashbag. That's going back to...
Yeah, what is it?
Wait a minute. Where's Rashbag?
I know, that's way back.
Why am I blanking on it? We're talking
today's
about the...
Soft. I think it's today's soft, isn't it?
So what is that referring to? Why am I...
Maybe it's going back to my book.
Here, Da'amar Matir Karvitav. Okay, right. Sorry, yes. Rashi says it. Matir Karvitin.
Yeah.
Right. When you have this bed, it's the beginning. That's where it was. The Hashem Avrinot... No,
so
not he, that
so
one.
So basically, Rashbag said that he unties the strap so that the sleeping surface of the leather sheet falls to the ground.
Right, and that's how you can do it.
That Mourner, he doesn't.
Oh, yeah, it was at the top. Okay, now I see it. The top of Nun Vav Amud Bet. It was four lines from the top. Shbagomer, Hadargash, Matir, Kavitav, Vuhuno, Fel, Me'alav. Okay, yeah, a little out of place. Okay. New one. Hanodir min ha'ir. Okay, now we get back to Tchum Shabbat, if you remember. Now, when we talked about Tchum Shabbat, you have a city. You have 2,000 amah in every direction that you're allowed to walk on Shabbat outside the city. But if you have a house that's within 70 and a third, 70 and two-thirds, I forgot what it is, 70 and two-thirds amah. Thank you. If it's 70 and two-thirds amah, you have some sort of house or a hut or something like that where somebody's living, then that's considered, we call it the ibura shel ir. Why? Ibura, like isha meuberet, right? It sticks out like a woman's stomach. Out of the city, okay, like a pregnant lady's stomach. It sticks out of the city. It's called the Ibura Shel Ir, and that's considered part of the city still. Okay? So, it, right. And then you only count the amah, the 2,000 amah from there. So now we're going to get to, okay, well, what if you say Hanodir min ha'ir? So what do you mean by the city? Do you mean the 2,000 amah outside the city also? Do you mean the Ibura Shel Ir? Which parts are included, which parts aren't included? So it seems pretty obvious. Hanodir min ha'ir mutar likanes l'tchuma shel ir. The tchum is okay. You weren't talking about the tchum, the 2,000 amah, but it asur likanes l'ibura. But the Ibura Shel Ir is still considered an extension of the city itself. Aval hanodir min ha'bayit asur min ha'agaf v'lifnim. Now we go back to the house. If you say, I'm not going to get benefit from the house, you're forbidden to go. Now, the doorways had, sometimes there was like a wide doorway. So the question is, right, the part where the door, think about it, when you have a door and it closes, the whole doorway area isn't necessarily part of your house, because when you're in your house, it's blocked off. So the question is, how do you view that doorway? Is that part of the house or not? So they say, from the agaf and inside is part of the house, and from the agaf and outside, that's from outside, that doorway area is not considered part of your house, like a doorstep or anything in front of your house, not considered the house. So now the Gemara is going to ask, Minalan di ibura de mata kimata dami. How do you know that the ibura, the city, is considered like the city? Amar biyochanan de amakra. Here, it says, here's a pasuk. Again, we always have that question, right? Can we learn it from sukim? You see this all the time in the Masechet, where b'nidarim halachash par l'shom ben adam, but when they're trying to figure out what's the definition of something, they always put psukim, and then you get into trouble sometimes because of it, because then they say, oh, can't necessarily learn from there. Anyway, what does it say there? Vayi biyot Yoshua b'Yericho. May b'Yericho, right? How could it be Yoshua was in Yericho? Ilema b'Yericho mamash. If he was really in the city, what does it say? V'hakti b'Yericho sogeret u'misugeret. It was totally blocked off, and you couldn't get into the city. So how could it be that he was actually in the city? He must have been in the outskirts of the city, right? And that meant it was still the city. Maybe he was still in the tchum of the city, and maybe then tchum would be included in the city. Haktiv bitchuma, it says, when it talks about tchum Shabbat, here's a different pasuk they're going to quote. Umidotam michutz la'ir. Right? They would measure it from michutz la'ir 2,000 amah. Okay, this is actually about, I forgot the context here, this pasuk. This is the Arei Leviim, and they would say this, and this will be Migrashei Leviim. It's not Tchum Shabbat they're talking about, but it's saying you measure from outside the city Alpayim Be'ama. Okay, they would measure outside the city 2,000 Amah. So now you already see it's considered the 2,000 Amah you're measuring are outside the city, and they're not considered in the city. So now they've used two psukim to prove there must be something outside the city that's considered within the city, and yet you see what they would measure outside the city 2,000 Amah. So it's obviously not the 2,000 Amah, so it must be the Ibura Shel Ir. Hanodir min ha'bayit eino asur ela min ha'agaf alifnim, aval min ha'agaf alachutz lo. Okay, right, so now they're going to say, so implied from here is what? That from the doorway and out would not be part of the house. So Mativ Rav Meri, v'yatza kohen min ha'bayit. Okay, this is in the Tzarat, when he goes to the Bayit Menuga. Okay, it says, v'yatza kohen min ha'bayit. It's a very strange pasuk. El petach ha'bayit. He leaves the house, right, and he goes to the petach of the house. And then, v'hizgirat ha'bayit shivat yamim. And then he closes the house for 7 days. So Yachol Yelech LeBeito V'Yazgir. You might have thought that he could, when he leaves the house, he can go home, and from his own house, he can close up the house. How you do that? They talk about, oh, well, he could take a long rope, and he could, you know, it's a little complicated, right? How's he closing up the house with a rope when he's far away? But anyway, they suggest maybe that's the case. Talmud Lamar El Petach Habayit. So that's why it says in the Pasuk, no, he can't do it from his own house. He has to do it from the Petach Habayit. Il petach habayit yachol ya'amod tachad amashkof viyazgir. You might have thought he could stand under the doorpost and do it from there. Tamud lamar min habayit ad sheitze min habayit kulo. He has to leave the entirety of the house. So haketzad, how could this be? Omei betzad amashkof viyazgir. Okay, so here you see he must be standing next to the mashkof, but outside of it, and from there he closes. Uminayin she'im halach lebeito v'izgir o shamad tachan amashkof v'izgir she'izgiro muzgar. Now how would you know, where can we learn that if, even though he's not supposed to go to his house, but let's say he went to his house, this is just the whole braita. Let's say he went to his house and he did it from there, or he stood tachat ha-shakuf, I guess that means under the mashkof.
Tachat. Under the lintel, yeah.
What?
Outside the lintel.
Okay.
It was a door frame, I think.
Right. So outside, but tachat means outside. That's under. How they translate it?
Under.
Right. He stood under the door frame. Vihizgir. Shizgiro musgar. That it would be okay anyway. Tamud lomar. Vihizgir tabay. Mikol makom. Okay. So here you see that it works in any case. Okay. Just 1 second. Right, so this is from the words etabayit. That's where they're learning from, because it says vizkir etabayit. So the extra words etabayit teach us that any way he does it, it works. But the real issue here is... One second.
Whether it's outside the house or whether he's standing under the lintel, right? Is that the issue?
It works. 1 second. Ah, right. Because then you see here that the ovi of the petach is considered still part of the house. I see. The et habayit comes to include even the mashkof because it's considered within the house. And our Mishnah seemed to imply that from the mashkof and out is not considered part of the house. Okay, so how could it be that for bayit menuga we're considering the doorway, that part that's not really inside your house because the door, right?
Yeah,
once you close the door, there's a good picture of it.
You see how it protrudes?
The thickness of the wall.
Right, the thickness of the wall protrudes outside of that whole area that's under this doorway. That's where the door is already closed.
The door frame.
Right. The door frame that's away from the... Right. Exactly. So now...
So we stand...
From Bayit Menuga, if he stands underneath that doorway, that's still considered that he's in the... In other words, that's including the words, Izgirat HaBayit. In other words, right? That's considered... Right. It works even if he does it under there. Because under there, even though under there is still considered part of the house, that was the whole question. It's even b'diyevet it works, because that's still considered part of the house, and that's why only b'diyevet it works. Whereas here we said that it's not considered part of the house. Okay? So now what are the answer? Again, this is how we started the shir today, which when we compare it, right, just because it's nidarim doesn't mean we can learn the same criteria for every area of halacha. So what do they say? Shani gabe bayit dechtiv min habayit ad sheyetzei min habayit kulo. There it says you have to leave the house entirely when it comes to bayit menuga. And that's why that area is enough part of the house that it's considered that you have to leave it. Again, b'diyevet it works, but l'chatchila you can't be in that area. But when it comes to what did you include in your nedarim, that's not really considered the house. Only we're like machmir, I guess, by menuga, that we're going to say you have to be entirely out of the house, even an area that's somewhat considered part of the house. But when you say neder and you say bayit, you mean the main parts of the house and not the parts like the doorway, which is already outside. Okay.
I was going to say, couldn't they just...